You are now listening to King of the Court podcast.
King of the Court podcast. What do we got? Episode 0. All right, we're starting fresh. This is a bonus episode. We're still waiting for Sean to interject here, but he said he'll wait for next season before he'll discuss the Lakers.
He don't want to talk about Jeannie Buss throwing his man under the bus. But see, this is the episode where I want him to be there because, you know, he always talks about player empowerment and these things. And Brandon Jennings had quite the Twitter exchange where he bashed the new NBA, the player empowerment thing, how it's ruining the league. And I kind of agree with him.
I mean, he's not wrong for saying players got to play, but as far as Perk had a good rebuttal, and I agreed with Perk on it, where they got to play, but it's still a players' league. But they got to play.
I agree. Let me read some of these tweets, though.
What did he say?
Let me pull it up. Let's see. That feels so good. Let's see. There you go. It's only a couple guys in the NBA that love the game. Outside of the NBA, kids make so much money, they don't even care. I'm a fan of the game of basketball. Why would I go to pay watch players that can decide wherever they want to play? He's saying, if I'm a fan, why would he go to watch them, to pay, to watch them do whatever they want? He said, For one, whoever made this a player league was the stupidest thing ever for the game of basketball. NBA got to change its rules.
No.
Nah, I feel like it was CP3, Bron, and them speaking on players, this and that. And the thing is, get the money. I understand that. But the passion of the game is lost. Kids don't even watch games anymore. Just go to highlights on Twitter and Instagram. So then, person asked them, do you have any suggestions or solutions? He goes, you have to put something in everybody's contract where they have to average this or play so many games. You have to do that to get this money. They just did it to Zion. Listen, the NBA is on its way like the NFL.
That's not a good thing. NFL players get so jealous of NBA player contracts.
But the way the NBA, some of the NBA players are abusing it. I think that's what he's saying.
I think players should take the time they need. I think they should incentivize the ability to actually play more games. Incentivizing, fine, but I don't think you should be taking away or punishing players for missing time or not being able to play. Those obliques and those hamstrings and all that stuff is tricky, man.
I personally think that the players need, it's not even that. It's just like, yo, they, like Kevin Durant just signed, in his case, he just signed a 4-year extension. And then all of a sudden he's like, all right, I got my money. Now I want to go. Like, that to me is stupid.
Take the money, take the bag. But if someone's going to offer you the money, you definitely take the contract. If your job's offering you more money right there, you're going to offer you a raise. And then even though in a month later, you want to look to go to another job, you would still probably go and look for another job. You're not going to say, don't give me the money.
I think that's stupid. Honestly, I think if you didn't want to be there, then leave. Then don't sign a contract and then immediately say, yo, I want out. I didn't get what I wanted. Like, that's stupid.
The CBA gave teams too much control over players, so players are looking for a way to leverage their own control. You gave them, and it's not.
It's going to be a lockout. It's going to be a lockout coming up because it's just not fair to what the NBA players are doing.
But why should you? Why should you in those contracts if you're getting, let's say that Supermax and you get 25 extra million to stay at a franchise, let's say Cleveland, and Cleveland's just not doing shit and they're just being stupid. Like, you're gonna, oh, because they're stupid with their franchise, I have to go somewhere else and take a pay cut. Fuck no, give me my money in Cleveland, and you know what? Trade me. See? They never said, you have to trade me. All they said is, I wanted to be traded.
Okay,
it's so the now, NBA's right so now, to so not now, trade
so
them.
Now, okay, so now look what happened. This. Now say, Kevin Durant really has no leverage. What if this the owner is a communist, and you see what he's saying. Like, he's sticking to his joint. What if he say, fuck that, I'm trading you to Orlando. And then what? Now the NBA is fucked because now who the fuck wants to watch Kevin Durant on Orlando running with fucking Franz Wagner? But he's probably going to get traded. It's going to be him, Markelle Fultz, and Terrence Ross playing. Then Kevin Durant's going to cry and he's going to sit out for the whole year, fake an injury until they trade. So Orlando trades him.
And then he loses like his value. Then he loses his value for sitting out. Kevin Durant has never sat out because of trade demands. Players like this never sit out. When you sit out, for whatever reason, it hurts your thing. Look at John Wall. Went out, a max player, came back, 2-year deal, $13 million. Kevin Durant is, until he sits out for non-basketball-related reasons, I don't think that's going to happen, but it's the you're going to lose your value if you do that. So I don't think Kevin's going to do that. I don't think when players do that, that's instantly. But I do like that Brandon Jennings brought up names and put CP and LeBron on it.
Because CP was the head of the players union. That's why. And Bron is all like Bron. But see, the way what LeBron does it, he uses his leverage different from Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's about to be a billionaire off the court, so he didn't need to sign the 4-year deal. I understand he came off the injury, so he wanted to lock in. But LeBron always does 1+1, 2-year deal. So he's always could leave. That's the leverage. Like, if you don't give me what I want, I'll just bounce. Kevin Durant, you locked in. You picked the coach, Steve Nash. You said, I want to come to Brooklyn for the culture. Then you immediately destroyed the culture. And then you wanted to run with Kyrie. Y'all planned this for a whole year. It didn't work out. And now you guys asked for James Harden. You got James Harden. That didn't work out. And now, oh, I don't like the direction the Nets are going in. Bro, you literally picked the direction they're going in. They gave you everything you wanted. And now you're leaving because they don't want to max out Kyrie when he's a no show, no call.
Hold on. Edit point at 9:30. All right, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. So Kyrie, see, you were saying about Kyrie.
Yeah, I just feel like Kyrie and them, they fucked everything up, and it's just terrible, like what they did to the NBA, and I agree with Brandon Jennings, like. The whole player empowerment thing sucks because it's just like you can't even have, like, nowadays it's not even team loyalty no more. It's just like, yo, everybody, I think it all started with, I don't want to keep hashing on LeBron, but a lot of this, I root for the back of the jersey, not the front, as Sean would say. This all started with LeBron because you can't have loyalty to the team because he keeps switching everywhere he goes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jordan, like, even if you're a Celtics fan, like, you love Larry Bird, he's your favorite player, but he played for the Celtics.
Yeah.
So you're a Celtics fan. He didn't switch his team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Magic. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're a Laker fan because of Magic Johnson. Like,
everybody
was a Cleveland fan because of LeBron. And all of a sudden when he left, they just said, I'm not fucking with Cleveland no more. And but then now, when he went back, oh, I'm a Cleveland fan again. It's just like, now Cleveland is hot. They got a good team now. Now you're not going to root for them no more. It's just like, so when LeBron retires, you're gonna hit your bandwagon to another player. Like, it's just dumb, and it's just.
It started in baseball, and it became more like this. It feels like it's a very baseball way of doing business, of getting those big contracts, and then just flipping around those big contracts.
But even those players with the big contracts in baseball, they don't really get traded like that. They sign the big contract and stay there because they're like 10-year contracts.
No, they've moved those Alex Rodriguez contracts and stuff. That's where it started. Those big mega deals started happening. Then you started trading these $350 million contracts. And LeBron does it the old school way. The I'm going to take leave as a free agent. Baseball players do it too that way.
The way LeBron does it is almost like perfect because he knows he's like, I'll give you out 2 years. If I don't like it, it's only 2 years. I'm out. Either I could have the option to leave, improve the team, or I leave.
And he only goes to fully full rosters. He only goes to like.
He does what he does. That's why I feel like he has this is his last year. He should go back to Cleveland.
But to the point of Kevin Durant, if he gets traded to Orlando, it's the same thing as if he got drafted in OKC. It's the same thing.
Okay. See, they had a good team though. They had Harden, Russ, Serge, fucking Nick Collison.
And you think Orlando doesn't have pieces if they get someone like Kevin Durant?
But they're gonna have to give up some of those pieces to get him.
But they're not gonna give up those pieces knowing that they only have one piece in Kevin Durant. So that's why only Boston, only Miami are viable solutions for Durant.
But if I was those teams, I wouldn't give them shit. Cause it's like, yeah, he don't want to be. He has no leverage. I got the leverage.
You wouldn't take him.
Not for the action price, no.
For Jaylen Brown.
No. He doesn't want to be there. So like I have the, and then it's like all the other teams that want to fucking trade for him, right? They're like, yo, bro. And he don't want to say it fucking Utah wants to trade for him. You know Kevin Durant is going to play in Utah. So it's just like, I got the leverage. Like, he wants to come here. He's going to He's going to not report to camp anywhere else. So the other teams are scared to sign him. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like.
It feels like we would have traded him. Someone would have traded him for someone already. Do you think I think his trade value already is hurt because he doesn't want to he has a bad attitude, so everybody's a little wary of that. Because I can't see any market where anybody this big would be available and they're not trading for him. I'd trade away half my team for Kevin Durant right now. But Knicks aren't eligible for it.
I would never trade half a team for that.
Any period of Kevin Durant, not bitch and moaning Kevin Durant.
Not right now. No, I wouldn't trade it. Not right now, no. I feel like it's dumb to trade for him right now. Especially if they want half your team. No, this is it. And same thing with R.J. Barrett. I mean, not with Donovan Mitchell. Like, I wouldn't. Right now, the Knicks have all the leverage. They're the Knicks' mediocre package is the best package that any other team could offer for them. So Danny Ainge is holding out, hoping the Knicks succumb to the pressure from the media and just trade everything. And the Knicks are like, bro, we have the best package. We have the most picks that you want. And we got players. So other teams have players but no picks. Other teams have picks but no players. Yep. We have both. And if you don't want to take what we're giving you, Quentin Grimes and some picks, then hey, go kiss your ass. Go find it. That's what Knicks are saying. Go find a better deal and make it happen.
Because we have a team already, and the Knicks already built their team.
We don't want to make it another Melo situation where we trade up everything for one player. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we're just like, yo, bro, like, just wait on it.
Especially when the player needs to be traded or has to be traded before the season.
Yeah. And that now Utah, they should have traded Donovan Mitchell first. Because it's like now everyone knows you're rebuilding. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
so it's like so it's like now your leverage is fucked.
You wouldn't get as much back for Gobert if you trade him first. They fleeced
that team, but what I'm saying is, it's just like, yo, bro, they could have waited. Like, they didn't have to do it like that. They could have waited, and
they should have traded both in succession. If you would have made them available and said, "Hey, if you want him, give me your best package right now. Knicks would have probably given up more, but by trading Gobert, you kind of gave them the, you have no way out of this. We're just going to wait you out. You can't have a big gun when you're not going to shoot with it, and you're not going to sit him on the bench for a season like he's John Wall.
This is crazy. I don't know what's going to happen, but
But I think the Knicks should be pulling the trigger right now. We're going to fucking regret it. The Knicks are going to regret it.
Without question,
we're going to regret it. No, it's right know, there you know available.
Why? No, it's not, because you don't want to mortgage your future.
We have enough future. We have too.
But first of all, we don't really know what the what if they're asking, Danny Ainge is asking for quick Obi 5 picks. That's way too much. You don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's not. You don't know what the package is being offered. Like, so say if it comes out like, yo, then the Knicks trade, we trade Grimes, quick Obi, and 5 picks just for Donovan Mitchell. You're okay with that because we got more players down the line?
Yes.
No. No. Yes. That's dumb.
I'm okay That's with dumb. That.
Why?
I'm okay with that because the picks is that are you still think, a, okay, but still listen, a crap but shoot.
So you think Donovan Mitchell is worth that?
Yeah, worth Obi and
no, we're talking about quickly Obi, Quentin Grimes, and 5 first round picks.
Yes, because we still have.
He's not worth that, bro.
We still have our core. We still have our core. We have.
But he's still. He's not worth it.
He is worth it. No, he's an all star.
Oh, but so Dejounte, it's a lot of all stars that, like, you know what I'm saying, that are not worth it. He don't move the needle.
He gets into the playoffs every season.
Okay, that's cool. Now you think, okay, so.
And we still have Randall. We still have Rose.
If we add Donovan Mitchell, right? It's to track those things. Are we going to be any closer to a championship? No, we're still going to be out on the outside looking in.
And still have pieces to trade.
I don't do that.
We still have pieces to trade.
No, I don't.
And still have ability for cap space.
But those are our best assets. The picks and those best young players. Why would you give up everything? You're not going to give up everything. You can't do that, and especially if we want to move on from Randall. Why would we give up Obi when we want to move on with Randall?
You don't move on from Randall, or you trade Randall for another player.
How do you think Randall's going to be on the court with Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson? That automatically makes him the third option. Automatically, off the rip. You think he's going to be like, yo, I carried this team for 3 seasons. You think I want to fucking be a third option now?
Yes.
No, that's not going to happen. You know Julius Randle. Just by going by that's not going to work. As I'm
saying, being the third option on a good New York team is better than being the first option on a good anywhere team.
And listen what he's going to say. I was the only option, first option on this team. I was second team All-NBA, 4th seed in the playoffs by myself. I'm not coming here to have Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell put me on the back burner.
Or you look at it this way. You come into New York. Who do you love more out of the New York Knicks 90s teams? What players do you love? Do you love the best player? Or do you love the second or third best player on the team?
All right.
Don't give me that.
Envision the scenario. Julius Randle gets the rebound, right? You see how he used to get the ball and wave off Frank, wave off. Who was our point guard? Wave off. He'll wave off RJ. He'll wave off anybody.
Yeah.
The only person he didn't wave off is Derrick Rose, right? You think he's gonna get that rebound? He's gonna wave off both of them and keep doing what he do. That's what I'm saying. He's gonna do it, bro.
If he does, he can bring it up, and he has players to pass to.
There's games RJ was having like 30 something. He would just get the rebound, do some dumb shit, dribble 80 times, do a spin move, and turn the ball over. I'm telling you, bro.
Coach was putting the ball in his hands every time.
I think if you have, but you're forgetting, right? Julius Randle is probably even going to be the fourth option, if the way we're looking at it. We're gonna have Brunson, RJ, Mitchell. RJ is going to get more looks at the ball than Randle. He's because RJ, he averaged 20 last year. He's getting better every year.
Theoretically, and
he's our best clutch player.
But you look at someone like Brunson, Brunson's usage would go down. And that's what Brunson's actually looking forward to. More ball handling, more facilitating.
But but that takes the ball out of Julius' hands because he was the fucking point guard for 3 years. Even though we didn't want him to be,
he has to adjust off that. But he has options to pass to who are better shooters. And I think he is going to thrive in that. And I can see Randall averaging 15 and 10 and being happy. Or 15, 10 and 5 and being happy.
Never, never.
On a good New York team? Absolutely.
I still personally do not do this. I do not do this Donovan Mitchell trade. I'm sorry.
I do it. I do it. If you keep your big guns, you keep your RJs, you should be lucky you're keeping your RJ Barretts. You can't have your fucking cake and eat it too. We were the fucking Gallinari Knicks. Don't fucking pretend like we were the fucking best Knicks in the world. We gave up Gallo and Ronaldo Balkman and a couple of players, and one of them ended up Jamal Murray.
We gave up Ray Felton and we gave up Wilson Chandler. Those two players right there were good.
We got Felton back, didn't we?
When he was 800 pounds. This is my thing.
We got J.R. Smith. We got Chauncey Billups, and we did a stupid shit with Chauncey Billups. So if we did stupid shit with Chauncey Billups, we would have been okay. But we forget that. We get Chauncey out of the deal.
Melo was a free agent in 6 months. Like, he could have came for free. We could have had that all those players plus Melo.
But still, we had JR. Chauncey. We got Chauncey. We had JR. It was good.
Nah, I don't do that trade.
And we were idiots for letting Chauncey go. And that's where our problem is. We would have looked back at it like, damn, we had Chauncey. We could have flipped that contract. No, we're idiots. Back then, no one was flipping those contracts. They were waiving them for some reason. And nowadays, you can flip Russell Westbrook every goddamn year.
Let's talk about this now, right? Since we're talking about the Knicks, what about the Pro-Am Knicks? How do you feel about are these people making a big deal about it, saying the Knicks three starting players lost to bums?
I love it. I love that they lost. You know why? Because it shows that the Knicks came there ready to play, didn't care about a win or loss, knowing how people feel. Honestly,
I watched the game. They were, first of all, Randall almost got hurt, and then he just stopped playing after that. They fell. Somebody crashed into his leg, and he was limping. He said, "Fuck that! I'm not playing." Why would they go? Did you see Jalen Brunson? He could score anytime he wanted. Like, he was just doing whatever he wanted out there.
And they were playing super hard.
No, the other team.
The other team was playing super hard
because it's their pride on the line. They're playing NBA players. Of course, they're gonna go hard. The Knicks are not gonna go hard in that situation. So. I don't blame them.
I like that they had the balls to actually go, knowing that if they lost, people will talk shit. And you know what? I like it. The trend's happening. More players are coming out. More players are balling. Social media is making it a lot more easier. No one gives a shit about if you uploaded it to your Facebook page. Now that it's on Instagram and shit like that, it's more accessible. But I like that they balled out, because that shit, honestly, playing in New York's fucking tough, man. Fucking go lose on the street. Let people fucking go play there. That's how you get it back. Go play on the street. Take a couple losses. Come back. You know, build up that chemistry. Shit. They're not going to be better. They're not. I'm glad. Win or lose, I'm glad they played together. Shit.
But what about the Hawks losing?
They lost? I didn't know about that.
Oh, you didn't hear? John Collins fouled out. He had like 6 points or whatever, fouled out, and they lost. Trey Young and John Collins. But you didn't hear about it. Why? Because it's not the Knicks. You understand?
Of course.
That's the funny part. It's just like, and then we got, speaking of Pro-Am too, we got DeJounte Murray. I've been hearing, like, the reason why he got traded for nothing is because he has character issues. And that's the reason why he got drafted so low, because of his character issues, right? And now you see it more. Like, he's fucking crazy. Like, him and this Barcaro beat. Like, he's a fucking lunatic. Did you see Fred? He bounced the ball off the guy off his head when he was on the floor. Like, what the fuck is Murray on? Murray wants to get murdered or something.
All these black players from Texas, man. Deshaun Watson.
He's fucking lost his mind, that kid, Murray. Like, what the fuck is going on with him?
He's bullying an 18-year-old Spanish kid.
Did you see what he did that poor kid that fell on the floor? He like dribbled the ball off his head. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Doubled down on it. Then doubled down on it with stories and posts talking shit to him.
Yo, oh, that's man. Crazy, man.
Ventura's gonna be nice.
But you know they were friends before that. So I think it's probably over a girl or something like that.
It's usually over a girl or jewelry.
So yeah, that I didn't want to bring that up. DeJounte Murray's out of control. He did that. He had that whole beef with Pon Carroll. Then, like 2 days later, he dribbled the ball off somebody's head while they were on the floor purposely.
And he's going to Atlanta? Yeah.
But they say he has character issues, so he's a little crazy. But what else I got here to talk about? Let me see. Let me check the list. Oh, shit. Let's talk about the Lakers. The Lakers, they're sticking with Russell.
And they want him to increase his corner threes.
Yeah. So the new coach seems like he has a plan for Russell Westbrook. And he said, if you don't buy in, you're benched. So we'll see how that works. And then
they get to watch the Warriors get the rings.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be a good game. I mean, a good pregame.
They should see a real championship contender.
You got to show the parade, because I know LeBron, you know, likes parades and stuff. Yeah. He was a little upset the Lakers didn't have the big parade he was supposed to.
Ah, because that wasn't a real chip. It's a Mickey Mouse chip.
That'll be nice. Usually LeBron opening night games are fun.
We'll see what happens, and hopefully AD picks up a basketball. But let's talk about Jeannie Buss saying who the real GOAT is, which we already knew.
You see, I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that?
Of course she has to say that. Of course she can't say LeBron James is the greatest of all time.
You know, I don't know why she has to say that. Who's her boyfriend?
Oh, Big Phil.
All right. She don't want no problems in the house. You know Phil hates LeBron, and you know he loves Jordan. So if she thinks she's going to go on record and say, oh, LeBron is the GOAT, and then come home to Phil?
Especially if Phil thinks Kobe's better. Phil's definitely the type to put Kobe over LeBron. Phil definitely got Kobe over LeBron.
But, yo, a lot of people have been shitting. I think, did you hear what NBA player? Oh, Dennis Rodman. Somebody said they can easily guard LeBron because he got no moves. I think it had to be Dennis Rodman or somebody.
Yo, Dennis Rodman is out of his mind. Dennis Rodman can also has the right to say he could guard anybody. But I don't care who it is.
But if you think about it, that's a fucking valid point. He has no go-to move. No go-to moves.
Like, he has the post turnaround.
Nah, that's not consistent. That's not what the thing that he has is to look at the ball and then shoot the three.
Yeah, it's one of his moves. That post turnaround is
that move, and that got to be the worst signature move in history.
LeBron is every move. He does every move well.
Who did you hear another?
If anybody like
the other NBA player said that. Who was it? They said, guarding Kobe was harder, and LeBron is easy because LeBron was easy, but the only thing you have to worry about is they run 15 pick and rolls in a row for him to get free. So a lot of these players are coming out and saying that, yo, LeBron ain't it on a one-on-one level.
Oh, well, and LeBron creates everything off the drop step too, though. So no.
They said like Kobe, you couldn't let Kobe get to his spot because he'll kill you, right? And then I forgot what fucking player they were interviewing this man, and he was saying like, yo, but LeBron, the only thing you got to worry about is they're gonna run you through 15 pick and rolls until you wear down for him to score. Like, you don't have to worry about him doing moves. So he says it's easier to guard LeBron.
It may be easier to guard LeBron. Also, LeBron is looking to pass, so a lot of times he'll pass away, and you're not really guarding. He's not moving away out the ball. He's done. So you're kind of just resting a little bit there. Kobe had a little bit more motion off the ball.
I got a hot take.
And a lot of slips.
This is going to get a lot of people upset, right? When LeBron retires, right? his GOAT thing is going to be worse. I'm telling you, people are not going to be talking. People take a lot because he's playing still. But when he retires, people are going to realize, yo, bro, he was real. He was great, but he ain't that great. Like, as far as, like, Jordan level great. Because they're going to realize, like, he didn't win a lot of rings as Jordan. He did a lot of bullshit. And he's, like, he's a great player, but he's just not on that level as Kobe and Jordan. I think he's a better overall player than Kobe Bryant. But, that's just my personal take, but I just feel like he just doesn't have, like, the act. Like, I don't know. It's just not even before Kobe passed away. It's just the allure of Kobe was just, I don't know. I just feel, I seen LeBron play live a bunch of times, and I seen Kobe play live.
Kobe's more exciting.
Yeah, I think that's just what, because he doesn't
Kobe's have more exciting.
Yeah, it's just, I think that's what it boils down to. I mean, LeBron is a better player than Kobe. But it's just like I don't know, man.
I agree with you.
I can't explain it.
A couple of Cleveland years, a couple of Miami years, where Dwayne Wade was throwing lobs out the building.
But look what you just said. Playing crazy. Look what you just said. You just mentioned Dwayne Wade.
Every time
someone mentions LeBron, they mention another player. I really talk about how great Kobe was, and he's exciting. We didn't mention fucking Robert Sacchery and all the bums he played with those years when he was just dominating, scoring 81 points with fucking bums on his team. We're not talking about that. But then you talk about LeBron's best years. You talk about Dwayne Wade throwing him lobs. It's not like, oh, LeBron was just catching the ball and hitting, doing crazy Cleveland shit by years, himself.
But when they were playing in a more, they were running more. When he had teams that ran more, and LeBron pushes the pace a bit. But a lot of times it's slow moving. It's slow wear you down basketball. All
right.
And that it's pick and rolls. It's wearing you down. It's putting you in the post. And honestly, I went to see LeBron play and he scored 30, 10, and 8 against the Knicks. And honestly, it felt like nothing happened. Honestly, there was a couple of dunks. It felt like nothing happened. It was like rocking us to sleep so gently.
I seen LeBron get smoked by Spencer Dinwiddie live.
And I've seen Tatum, but I've seen play. I think Tatum was more exciting than LeBron.
Okay, look,
Tatum's more exciting than LeBron.
I'm going to read you these stats, right? 17 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 43 minutes a game.
LeBron's rookie season?
Nope.
RJ Barrett?
Look at that. Listen, this is LeBron James' finals average for the Dallas series.
Yo, come on, man. We're not going to do this because Sean's
No,
we're not going to do this. We're not going to just do this.
This
shit is unbelievable.
This right here, and he was being guarded by Jason Kidd and J.J. Barrera. This right here is the reason why he'll never be the GOAT. Period. That, on the biggest stage, with a fucking stacked team, being guarded by a fucking Puerto Rican midget that should be selling Piragua ice on the corner. Averaged 17 points a game, bro.
The owner will never say you're the greatest player.
Game four, he played 46 minutes, had 8 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. Game four in the NBA Finals, bro.
Bill Russell passed.
Jordan never, ever, Kobe, ever played this bad.
Passed away.
And the finals. Bro, I can't, man.
Bill Russell will have the number 6 retired.
All right, and another one I got. Hold on, one more thing. This is gonna light the LeBron fans on fire. All right. Westbrook has more career points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks than Steph Curry, right? Who's the better player?
Steph Curry.
Okay. So unless you have Russ over Steph, then don't use that argument in the LeBron versus Mike. Because they keep saying he has the most total points in history. Yeah, so what? Totals don't mean anything. I want to leave that right there. So now, anytime somebody talks about that LeBron stupid stat that he has the total points, we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna bring that up.
LeBron is the an algorithm of all the best players put together.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Now that's
That, he is getting, all getting, the best players put together.
I'm getting my hot take.
He is one of the most dominant players ever.
Who? How?
LeBron.
Who? Okay, show me his dominance. Did he
dominate the Eastern Conference? How many finals in a row but did his teams go in? Yo, listen, how many finals in a row did he, listen, he go? Nigga, no team, no franchise goes to that much finals.
Dominance? Let's talk about that. Steph Curry dominated the LeBron era. He has more chips than LeBron in his own era. LeBron didn't even dominate his own era, bro.
They have the same amount of championships, don't they?
No, they don't.
It's 4-4, isn't it?
So how the fuck you let... No, this man... Yo, mad people eating... No, how many chips Kawhi got in LeBron's era? Or Duncan? All these players ate in LeBron's era. LeBron lost fucking mad finals, bro. He has a losing record in the finals. He hasn't dominated shit. He's not dominant. What have you done? He's not dominant. That's the level of talent.
He's dominant.
No,
He's a factor in every finals and every championship.
He wasn't a factor. I just named the finals where he wasn't a factor.
He's a factor in every. He's there, right? He's there in every championship. There.
So what? Robert Horry.
He had a participation trophy that year. He just showed up.
Come on, bro. You can't tell me he's dominant. And that was LeBron's prime. That was the first year in Miami. LeBron, one of his prime years. It's not for his rookie or this now. Then Sean told me the other day, yeah, I think this is LeBron's prime now, last season. Sean sniffs coke.
Nah, his prime was 2 seasons ago when he took over Cleveland. Like 3 seasons ago when he was taking over for Cleveland. That was when he was unbelievable. Now he's a little older. He's trying to play better. He's trying to not play as much. And the coach said they're playing through Anthony Davis. And he said that was fine. Which I think LeBron went there with the anticipation of handing over Davis the keys. But Davis won't pick up a basketball. So we'll see how this goes.
I can't wait. I can't wait, man.
It's going to be bad.
It's not really going to be bad, though.
This would be bad for the Lakers.
You think so?
Yeah. Everybody's still playing. Everybody's getting healthy. It wasn't like any of those teams were bad. You know, it wasn't like the Nuggets were bad. It wasn't like those teams are good. They all have good players. If Luka's, the West is too stacked. I don't see the Lakers, you know, being more than a 7-6 seed at best. They don't have any players. They're talking about they'll have max cap space next year if they release THT. THT is like their fourth player.
He's like, nah, he sucks. You know what the Lakers' mistake was? They got rid of Caruso.
The Lakers have, like, nobody on the Lakers roster right now. Lonnie Walker.
Oh, he's all right.
That was their big pickup. Scottie Pippen Jr.
He's a bust.
DJ Augustine, Wayne Ellington.
I like DJ Augustine. He's a Knick killer. If they play the Knicks, he'll average 40 every game.
Kent Bazemore, Troy Brown.
They should pick up Kemba Walker.
For no defense? They're going to get killed. Him and Russ? That's the worst.
If you have Kemba coming off the bench 15 minutes just scoring when you rest the stars, that's all you need.
Yeah, but Kemba got to get in. Kemba's not efficient. Kemba comes in 15 minutes, and Kemba's going to shoot 3 for 11 and play no defense.
That's what you need. But see, the thing with the Lakers was when LeBron went to the bench, that's when they lost the game.
Because
they need some scoring. That's what I'm saying. Just let Kemba come in and score. If Kemba drives gives you 10 points a game and his guy gives you 10 points a game, you still don't lose those minutes when LeBron's out. You understand?
They failed the roster by making a team that
listen,
had...
remember, they're going to lose Carmelo.
Yeah, Melo's gone. The Nuggets are thinking of picking him up. There's rumors there.
No, he's waiting to see if we get Donovan Mitchell.
Is Dennis Schroeder on the team?
No.
I thought he was going to go back to the Lakers.
He begged LeBron on Instagram, and LeBron left him on red.
That's good. That's good. I'm seeing LeBron's healing. That was a big loss they took.
What loss?
losing Dennis Schroeder last season? The Lakers? They collapsed since they lost Schroeder.
They lost their best player, Alex Caruso.
And also a number six. Yeah, do you change your number if they
That's a, oh yeah. See, I don't want to bash him again, but he definitely should change his number. Yo, son,
Porzingis? Porzingis?
He should be banned from the NBA, period. But like I said, LeBron, it's so much to say because he's not even the best 23 and he's not the best six. Yo, he needs to just pick a random. He can't go to 24. He needs to just pick a fucking random number, like fucking.
Yo, how's Miami? Like, nah, we ain't got no numbers for you.
Yeah, like he needs to fucking pick a number. Like, he needs to go to like 37 or some shit. Like, I could be the best 37 ever.
What if Pat Riley says, "Nah, we already retired." number six with Bill Russell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. He should go back to 23 because he keeps switching, but he should go back just out of the respect.
He took six from, Davis had 23.
Three, yeah, and then he gave it back to him because Davis was three. But he should go back. That would be a good PR move for LeBron, and I think he could do it.
He'll sell more jerseys. Yeah. That's all it's about, selling more jerseys. Yeah, he gotta wear number 25. That's what...
He still won't be the best 25. That's Derrick
Rose. He gotta be 25. He gotta be one better than Kobe.
He gotta be like something like 27 or some shit. He's just some random number no one has, like fucking 83.
Number 83.
Like he's a wide receiver or some shit.
Yo, let me tell you something. LeBron is the worst. Like he's not even the best player from Akron. Like Steph Curry's born in Akron. Like what the fuck?
He's just he's there though. He's there. That's all that matters. He's right there.
Yo, man. Oh, man. Sean, he's going to be furious when he edits this.
He's going to bleep everything out?
It's definitely. This episode is not coming out, bro. Sorry.
Listen, on our next episode, we're going to talk in detail about. We're going to have Sean's rebuttal, actually. That's what's our next one.
It's his fault, man.
Booked and busy sometimes. It is what it is.
So anything you got to say before I get out of here? Because I'm tired.
Nope. I don't have anything. There was no big news to happen in the NBA besides KD crying and complaining and a communist saying they're holding him hostage. Brittany Griner has 9 years in jail. We hope she gets out. Everybody forgot about it. Donald Trump took over the news, so we kind of forgot about Brittany Griner. So Cynthia Fowles is one of the best players I've ever seen. WNBA has been lighting it up, and it is getting into the playoffs. And free Brittany Griner. That's all I got.
Free Brittany? Free Brittany. But guess what? LeBron ain't the GOAT. That's it. God bless you. Thank you for coming out. Good night.
Good night.